This is the Church of God of Carmichael Sunday Morning Gospel Podcast.
From Matthew chapter 5, so if you'll stand, we'll read from verse 22 in Matthew chapter 5. A couple verses and then we'll let you be seated. Okay. Sister Mary left us some nice flowers here from the funeral yesterday, and we're grateful for Sister Mary being here this morning, Christine, and Mindy. All right, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to the brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Father, again, we're thankful for the goodness of God. We're grateful for another year that we yet are saved and desire to make heaven our home. Lord, gone through a variety of different opposition and trials, but yet you still are faithful by the grace of God to keep us. And in whatever condition we find ourselves in, still desiring to make heaven our home. Lord, we pray that you would have your way this morning, bless the service, encourage each one, help us, Lord, to be found where you want us to be. Locate us, we pray, and help us move into that spot. No matter our situation or where we find ourselves in life, that God, this morning, would be just like a piece of heaven that we could make sure we know where we are, Lord, and that you would place us, help us to get us there where we need to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. Amen. All right. So, this passage is going to go along with some other thoughts that we have this morning, but I thought of it as we prepared. Lord brought it to our attention that we end this year with a look back, as we did the other night, and find ourselves prepared to move forward. Why do you say prepared? Because if we're in a place where we're not prepared to move forward, we need to take care of business so that we can move forward. See, some of us, I think, or a person might presume that they're ready for this next year that's coming, but in fact, there's business that needs to get taken care of before we can move forward. And then in the next 12 months, if the Lord gives us that long, we need to be prepared for the battle, because there is a last battle which is coming, and the last battle can be described in different ways. Some people describe it as death. Others might be the end of the world. Certainly death for us will be the end of this world. As we think about it in different ways, we need to have a final battle with sin. Amen. And if it hasn't happened already, it needs to happen so that sin is buried in the depths of the sea and that we're prepared to move forward. Amen. With God's people in unity. Amen. And in agreement. Amen. And if we've got to this place where there's something in the way, then this is a good day to make sure that it's buried and we leave it behind in this year and begin the new year with a clean slate, amen, ready to serve God, fight a good fight, all those things that we say. So it's a time, again, of introspection and taking a look back and so forth. And as we studied along these lines, we thought, well, here's a passage that was important to Jesus. He preached this on the Sermon of the Mount, among many other things. And he asked the assembly, to look at themselves and determine whether or not they had anything against their brother. Because he says, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause. Now, evidently, there is a cause for which we may be angry with a brother, but we need to be very careful about whether or not that's a cause that God agrees with. Amen? Because to be angry with a brother without a cause, he said, places us in danger of the judgment. Now that's serious. That doesn't involve opinion between two different people. That involves the judgment of God for a condition in which one brother is angry at another without a cause. Amen? And then he says, there is a civil kind of disagreement where you could be in danger of judgment from a civil council. You might say that word means vain fellow. You might have some opinion about someone, and then that might rise just to a level of judgment of some council or civil body. But there is another kind of disagreement with somebody else that is not simply a matter for judgment of this world, but it rises to the heart, where the heart has something against someone else, and that judgment is hellfire if that is without a cause. Amen? Therefore, if a person has that kind of upset disagreement without cause against another, if someone has that, Jesus says, in order to avoid the danger of judgment of hellfire. So obviously this is a disagreement without cause which God will not approve of. And so if it was me and I had some type of disagreement with anyone, I think I might err on the side of caution and not make some type of decision myself whether or not I'm entitled to keep this opinion which is contrary against a brother. I might err on the side of judgment or err on the side of caution, because he makes a distinction here that there is a judgment which should be adjudicated by some council of peers or of this world. But then he says there's another type of disagreement or upset which rises to judgment of heaven. And I think sometimes people get it in their minds that they can live with disagreements and upsets and things that are contrary with a brother. I think people think that they rationalize why they can live with this. But Jesus says this is not something that heaven will accept. Lord, help us. So he says, if you have that type of disagreement with a brother and you know it, don't bring your gift to the altar. What's our gift to the altar? First of all, our gift is us. Right? We sing a song about that. My gift is me. But our gift is the praise from the calves of our lips, amen, to God. Our gift is the offering of prayer, which goes up hopefully as a sweet smelling savor and incense to God. That's our gift, right? So we're not to go to prayer. Amen. We're not to worship, amen, as we otherwise would. You follow what I'm saying? He says, leave the gift. Does that leave us any opportunity to pretend or to kind of smooth over or to cover that we've got something serious against a brother and we're not taking care of business, but yet we're pretending? Amen. Amen. Saints, this is serious, because one of the things that has hindered God's church and God's people over time is that even in congregations or between congregations or other places, People have aught against another and they don't take care of business. And then people sit in the pew and pretend that there's nothing wrong, or that I'm just going to endure this or whatever. And then God does not prosper the business of the congregation or God's people or the church, because people are willing to sit with these problems. You see, I thought we were going to have something encouraging on the last day of the year. Well, I hope this becomes encouraging, because if there's aught between you and another, you need to take care of that. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar. What's the altar? The altar is the altar of prayer. The altar is where God accepts our sacrifice. There was a sacrifice that God would not accept. It was the second best. It was the impure. It was the one with spot or wrinkle. That was the gift that God did not accept. And that is the gift that someone would offer if they have aught against another, and yet they continue to bring the gift to the altar. That is the gift that God will not accept. And that individual, knowing that, so this rises to a very serious level, that individual is in danger of hellfire. And if you remember that, because sometimes God calls things to our memory, that thy brother hath aught against thee. Amen. So this works both ways. If we know that there's a condition between us and somebody else, it might even be that they have something against us and we know it. Then he says, leave your gift before the altar and go thy way and be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. No matter from which perspective you look at this, the Lord wants us to at all times do the best we can to be in unity and be in agreement with our brother. Amen. Is that all right? And do everything we can. Now, once you go to your brother, and once you do whatever you need to do, work it out however you need to work out, well, then you've done all you can do. You've done all you can do. But at that point, neither can we carry, how shall I say it? A malevolent intent. A malevolent intent toward the other. Well, I did everything I could, but they wouldn't hear me. And so then I carry this thing. Now that's not fair. That's not fair. We can't say I did my part. Now it's up to them. But I'm going to carry this thing because they won't. They won't. Amen. Amen. But yet I'll take my gift to the altar. Well, it has something to do with some of the thoughts that we're going to continue with here this morning. This year was a milestone year, a hallmark year. For many, perhaps all of us, I suppose, generally a happy year. I don't think that saints at the end of a year where they've served God for the whole 12 months look back and say, you know, most of this year was an unhappy year. Generally, I think most of the time saints look back at a period of time and they say, you know, Lord is blessed. We've had our share of upsets and our share of hard things, but generally, it's been a good year. And we also need to remember that as well. Some people were saved from sin. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's a milestone. We're thankful for that. That yet here, God has saved some from sin this year. Thank God for that. Thank you, Lord. Don't fail to say, thank you, God, for what you've done, for the good things that you've done for us. Let your mouth say it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Some gone through serious things. Amen. But those that I know that have gone through serious things are yet saved. Thank God for that. Amen. But for better or worse, if we still have breath by the time it's midnight tonight, we'll say goodbye to 2017 and hello to 2018, and we'll start again. So I want to look back at this 12 months in terms of the battles that a Christian fights and survives and wins, and look at the last battle we will fight and what will come next, because it's an idea of winning the battle. Amen. Part of the reason why we began in Matthew is because one way to win this battle is to make sure that our heart is clear with our brother and our sister. And when we have a new beginning, like a new year, that we've taken care of business in the year that is ending. Amen. So there's a lot of passages in the Bible that do just this, that look at time gone by and men and women who summarize, and they look at that time. The first one that I can find in the Bible of a narrative like this, where somebody summarizes a period of time or a life that's gone by, is in the book of Deuteronomy. I won't turn there, but it's the Song of Moses. It's the end of that book, and in that song, Moses basically summarizes his time with God and the glory of God and his life with God. He looks back because he knows he's not going to go on into Canaan. Joshua called the elders together. Joshua gave them, the elders, a summary of his time, of what God had done. And he also called them to look forward, and Joshua had told them, this is the land that God has given you that he wants you to occupy, and this is where I want you to settle and so forth. So are these passages in the Bible of retrospection, of looking back. David does this in the 23rd chapter of the second book of Samuel. There are these places where God's people look back and they take stock. They add things up. They measure. They figure out, okay, what's all this been worth, this time that we just spent? David did that before he died. And now we're going to go to John chapter 17, because Jesus did it. He looked back. He took stock. He measured. The whole at least half of this chapter is Jesus. It's a kind of biography or an autobiography of his life and what he did. And this morning, I would like us to look back in a similar way. So John chapter 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. So at the end of 2017, because this is the end of Jesus' life, at the end of 2017, are you able to say, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee? Or can you say, let my life be a glory to you, that I may glorify thee? Can you say that? You can say it if today, if right now, amen, there's nothing between you and any other that would rise to the level of God's judgment. You can say that. You can say that if, like Jesus will say, you have kept yourself, you're clear, there's no sin in your life. Amen. Amen. You can say that. You could have the same song that he has here. Can you pray to God in heaven? Can you call him Father? Can you recall a time when God changed you so that you could do these things? You also could say, Father, the hour has come. Let my Let my autobiography be a glory to you. You can say that. Amen. If everything is up to date, if there's nothing between you and another, you could say, let my autobiography be read by all. I'm clear. And so Jesus looks back. You can say that if in 2017, today, and you are yet saved, you can say, thank you, I am yet your child. We could say that at the end of this year, as we sit here this morning, we can say, thank you, I am yet your child. If you were saved in 2017, you've kept your experience, you can also say, thank you, I am yet your child. If you were saved before 2017 and you are still saved now, you can say, thank you, I am yet your child. Amen. Verse 2, thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee in the only true God, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. All right, and then in verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. When we are called by God, we have a choice. We can either respond to his call or we can reject it. There's no middle option when God calls us. We either respond to it or we reject it. And postponing God's call, whatever it is not acceptance. There's no middle ground. There's no accepting or rejecting. There's no middle ground which says, well, I'm getting there. Or someday. Or I believe, but I'm not ready. That's called rejection. That's not acceptance. If God calls you to be saved, there's no middle ground which says, someday. Because that leaves us in a perilous place. Jesus said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. When we come to our last battle, and all of us are coming to a last battle, that's what we want to say. I've done what you asked me to do. Amen. There's no middle ground. God may have mercy on you if, for some reason, you are unable to comprehend salvation. God may have mercy on you, but we're not supposed to presume upon the mercy of God that somehow he would keep us until we're ready. This is not about when we're ready. God is ready and desires that we would be his child right now and that nothing would be in the way and that someday we'll figure it out. No, God wants us to be ready right now. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right? Just checking. If you accepted his call in 2017, you were called to service. I'm looking back on these 12 months and just asking you to consider, as Jesus is doing here in chapter 17, just asking you to consider, what is it that we did these last 12 months? He's called us to service. The first way we serve God is we love him with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. That's in Mark chapter 12. That's the first way we serve him. We serve him with everything that we are. Amen. This is a very deep position right here. Because if there's aught in our heart, if there's upset, not just with another, but we have a condition in our life which God can't use, let alone approve of. Really, we can't serve him the way he wants to be served because he wants all of us. Amen? The second way we love God is we love our neighbor as ourselves. So we look back in 2017 and we say, I did my best to love God with my whole heart, my whole mind, my whole strength, and my whole soul. And secondly, I did my best to love my neighbor as myself. Somebody says, who's my neighbor? Your neighbor is anybody but you. Not just the person next door, not just the person in the pew. The neighbor is anyone but you. I did my best in 2017 to love my neighbor. Amen. That's our work. In 2017, did you finish some work that God gave you to do? Jesus said in verse 4, I have finished the work. He said, yeah, but he was dying. Well, I'm just using this year. This year is going to die tonight if the Lord lets it happen. And then he'll begin a new one. And you say, well, that's just an arbitrary date on the calendar. I know, but from time to time we can measure things. Amen. Amen. Your profit and loss sheet is a snapshot of a period of time, 30 days, a year, whatever. Your balance sheet, that's your net worth. That doesn't necessarily have a snapshot. But your profit and loss, you measure a period of time. You measure a period of time. The balance sheet could be at any point in time, but a profit and loss, you measure a period of time. What was your gain? What was your income? And what was your expense? And what's left over? And so this year I'm measuring, 2017, I'm asking you, what was the profit that you earned for God? What was the profit that you earned for God? Amen. And what did you finish? What work did you finish this year? Jesus said, I finished some work. It's good to look back and say, I finished something. I accomplished something of value. God put a soul in front of me. I cared for that soul. I finished a work. Amen? I hope you're thinking. It's a lukewarm people who rarely look back and measure things. They're afraid to measure. One of the reasons a people could be afraid to measure is they're not finishing anything. There might be an ongoing work, but there's a fear to bring it to fruition, a fear to finish it, a fear to see results. In order to have a profit, you need to finish something. The master came back for the servant that he gave the talent to, and he said, "What have you done with it? What have you finished?" We could say, well, brother, I have this trial and I have this grief and I have this burden and I have this ought, or I have something, and it never gets resolved. People just live with it. They don't finish it. They just live with it. Somehow God is like a pain pill. You know, we suffer from pain. And I'm not critical of somebody that needs to manage pain. Please don't get me wrong. Just an example. It's like God's people see God as a pain pill. Pain pills don't make pain go away. They just help you live with it. Pain pills don't solve the reason for the pain. Now, if you have to take a pain pill, I'm not critical of that. Don't beat yourself up. But pain pills don't solve pain. They just help us live with it. Amen. And they see God as a pain pill. God just helps me live with that one that I have aught against. And so I love God, and he helps me tolerate them. He's a pain pill. But God is not a pain pill. God is a surgeon. God is a therapist. God is God. He helps get down to the root of the problem. He cuts out anger. He cuts out false doctrine. He cuts out things that we can't live with. He doesn't want us to live with that kind of stuff. He cuts out jealousy. He cuts out envy. He cuts out anger, and he cuts out things that we can't live with. God cuts out things that cause addictions. Amen. Oh, I'm happy this morning for that. It's not just something that, see, and it's a lukewarm people that are willing to live with this stuff. That say, well, I can't do any better. It's a lukewarmness that says, I just live with this. And they never look back and measure what has been accomplished. And a person who will not look back and say, what has been accomplished? That's why it's okay to look back at a year like 2017 and say, what did we accomplish? What did we finish? What work did we do for God? Sometimes people don't want to look back because they haven't done anything. Nothing's been accomplished. They've lived with a lot of stuff, but nothing got settled. And that's what they're going to take into 2018. That's a problem. Amen. God can't use that. That's our weakness. That God can't use that. He doesn't want us to take things with us. And you know what? That's what Laodicea did. If you really want to look at it, Laodicea lived with things that should have been settled in 2017. And they brought him into 2018 because they figured, you know what? I tried and it won't go away. And they brought it with them. God can't use that. That's a lukewarmness. Complacency. Or the idea that good enough is good enough. Jesus said, I have finished the work. I have glorified thee. That's why I finished the work. That's a strong statement. If I could say, I have glorified God. That's a finishing kind of work. Ready to move on. You know why Jesus is praying this prayer? And these words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven. The reason he's praying this prayer is because he's demonstrating to us and to himself, I'm ready to move on. I'm going to die. If the clock turns and we hit 2018, we need to be ready to say, and if you stay up tonight and you pray in the new year, pray this way. Lord, kill us. Kill my flesh. If I brought any fleshly ways with me this far, kill it before the hour strikes midnight. That the flesh stops tonight and the spirit begins again on the new year. Are we ready to move forward? It's good to say I did something. I can measure it. I'm ready to move on. A person who cannot forgive is not ready to move on. If you want to go in 2018 with power and authority and something to keep you, if you have ought against another, forgive them. Forgive them. Whether or not they can forgive you, forgive them. A person who cannot forgive is not ready to move on. You're going to be stuck here. You might be with us in 2018, but if you've got ought against another and you can't forgive them, you're not ready to move on. A person who has unfinished business often is not ready to move on because they carry that business with them. And we showed this year, we had many illustrations of carrying lots of baggage. We had messages on baggage. Amen. And how heavy it is. Baggage is emotional stuff. Baggage is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a huge piece of baggage. Now, there might be another who's not ready to accept it, but you need to be ready to give it. Amen. Unforgiveness, that's a huge piece. And people go from year to year carrying all sorts of baggage. My, that's heavy. That's a hard way to live. But I'm right. It's my lot in life. It's my destiny to carry this baggage. No, it's not. No, it's not. Forgiveness is necessary to move on, to let things go. Unfinished business. We got to finish unfinished business as best as we can. Finish unfinished business to move on. Amen. Not only for ourselves, but for the greater good of the church. Yes. A person who is suffering with any significant level of pain or worry or damage or heartache also sometimes needs to move on, but they might need some time to move on. It's not that they don't want to. It's not that they're not trying. It's not that they don't love God. Amen. This is important too. Because otherwise we would be judgmental and find fault with someone because they're trying to finish business, but it's difficult. And we would say, well, there's a reason why, whatever. But a person who is suffering with these things might need some time before they can move on. This is also important that in 2017 we take stock. It might not be about us, it might be about another. And the other might need our help. Amen. They might need some care and some comfort. They might need some counseling. They might need some prayer. All these things we're instructed. Amen. To move on. And so as we take stock of ourselves in 2017 and we ask if we finish some business, what have we done to provide care? What have we done to provide counseling? What have we done to provide comfort? What have we prayed for the benefit of another? And are we yet doing that? Are we ready to move on? You say, brother, I don't have the problem. I didn't ask you that. Are you ready to move on into 2018? As we look back and say, am I ready? It's a problem when we tell ourselves that we're ready to move on when in fact we're really not. That happened to Israel throughout their history. They thought that they were fine. If we read the account of the kings, and there was a good king, then there was a bad king. There was a good king, then there was a bad king. This one followed God, this one didn't. This one worshipped in the groves and the trees. This one set up altars of prayer in high places. This one tore them down. The next one that followed set them back up. And perhaps often they thought they were ready to move on, but they weren't. And finally God stepped in and he said, no, I'm going to let your enemies conquer you to teach you a lesson. And when they were driven out of Jerusalem and Israel and they were held captivity in Babylon, I don't know, you know, when Jeremiah was preaching to those people, they didn't want to listen to him. That's why people today, they call somebody that has a message that nobody wants to hear, but it's true, they call him a Jeremiah. Jeremiah was trying to tell those people, you're not ready to move on. You got unfinished business. You got things that need to be taken care of. And they said, no, we're fine. And they threw him in a pit. And while he's in the pit, they're conquered and they're taken away. That's what people do to messages that they don't want to hear. They throw it into a pit. A Jeremiah message. But it's a message that we need to hear anyway. If we're ready to move on. Israel said when they got to Ai after Jericho, they thought they were ready to move on. They thought they were ready for the next conquest. But they had some unfinished business that they had picked up at Jericho. Amen. And the unfinished business will cause us not to go to God like we should. Amen. Unfinished business can create guilt. It can create envy or heartache or upset. That's why unfinished business needs to be taken care of before you go fight your next fight. If you have unfinished business like this, and you're carrying it with you, whatever it is, something that God says you need to take care of, and you want to serve God, and so you go into the next battle, amen, with this unfinished business, you're in danger of being defeated. And this happens too often, you're going to backslide. People who backslide will carry baggage and they won't ever get it taken care of. They believe that God is a type of manager of my unfinished business. And it happened to Israel often. He wanted to teach them a lesson. He wants to teach us a lesson. So they went to Ai and they were defeated until they got their unfinished business taken care of. Israel said, "We can take care of this." They went into battle with the Philistines when Saul was king, and they were defeated because they didn't take care of unfinished business. They said it the same with each nation that conquered them. "We can take care of this. We can do this." And they had things that were not being taken care of, and they were conquered. By the time the Romans came and Jesus was born, they had been so long with unfinished business and so long in rebellion that they had no victory. Amen. By the time Jesus, they were once again under the domination of another empire. God doesn't want us to be under the domination of an empire of this world. So we have to take care of things before we can say, "I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do," to move on. The Lord wants us in 2018 to be here. Amen. And the question is, are you ready? Are we ready? Are we ready to move on? Because if not, today would be a good day to take care of some unfinished business. Verse 6. "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world," his apostles. "They were thine, and thou gavest me, and they have kept thy word." Amen. Verse 7. "Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee." Verse 12. "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept. None of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." When we look back, we have to be willing to measure our success. Jesus is accounting for his behavior and his efforts and his success. He's saying, "I kept those that you gave me. All of them know who you are. I only lost one. I batted whatever that percentage is. I batted 11 of 12. I lost one. Jesus lost one. I lost one, but I kept 11 in your name. Those are the ones that I want to go forward and to carry this message, because I think they're going to be ready." Now, keep in mind, this is even before the trial, and they all fled. But somehow Jesus knew that their heart's desire was to serve him. And on the day of Pentecost, they would be given power to stop fleeing. So he kept 11 out of 12. So now my question is, in 2017, what did we accomplish? What did you accomplish? Not the teacher, not the preacher, not the usher, not the control person, not the leader, not the... What did you accomplish for God? Jesus gave an accounting of what he accomplished. My question is, what did you accomplish? You know, in whatever it was, what was your batting percentage? What were the results? It's a lukewarm people that will not do this. Enterprises in the world that don't regularly take an accounting of their successes don't survive. Because invariably, what is not right never gets fixed. Because people don't ever account for it. They don't look for it. Amen. It'd be a good thing if the government accounting office, the GAO, really accounted for what the government is doing. There's a lot of, I think, cobwebs and things in dusty corners and little closets and things that are costing money and nobody knows about. A lot of it. Amen. And because there's no profit motive, all that stuff is allowed to accumulate and stay there. And it's a very, very unproductive and expensive enterprise because there's no real accounting for what's going well and what's not going well. Well, we can't run our lives like that. We can't run our households like that. You don't pay your PG&E bill or your SMUD bill, after a while, they turn it off. They don't care if you say that, well, I've hired a committee to look into that. They don't care. God wants us to take an accounting of what we're accomplishing and what we're doing and what we've done. And if we go into 2018 and figure, well, 2017 was another year, thank the Lord I was saved, and so forth and so on. But what did you accomplish? What did we accomplish? Lest you would say that I'm critical of the accomplishments of God's people, I'm thankful for the accomplishments of God's people. Lest you would say that my understanding is that we didn't accomplish anything, I don't believe that. I think we did accomplish some things. Thank God for what we accomplished. I thank the Lord that this congregation is still here. And we're not all here this morning, and there's a lot of us, and there's more that are yet coming because of sickness or travel or whatever. So I thank God for this congregation that is still here. One of the reasons I thank God for this congregation is because when people want to come back to be saved, they can still come back here to be saved. If the lights were out and there was nobody here, nobody could come here to be saved. Thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for all the burden that was carried by the saints and different individuals, for sick ones and illnesses and heartaches and troubles and just needs, and all the burdens that were carried, and the goodwill that was expressed by many to care for those. I thank God for that. Thank the Lord that there are many that went through hard trials and didn't give up and didn't cave in, but kept on. Amen. And are still here. Somebody says, well, they're not on fire. Their pilot light is pretty low. Still here. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. Thank the Lord he helped us pay our bills this year. And we have some left over. Thank the Lord he helped us help those who don't have anything in different places. Not only overseas, but right here in our community and right here in our congregation. He helped us pay some bills and take care of some things. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. There's a lot to be thankful for. And as we look back and take an accounting, there's some things to be thankful for. It's things that we finished. But in order to do this again in 2018, we have to look back and measure ourselves. And not just pat ourselves and say, brother, don't look at this with a critical eye. We have to measure ourselves. Amen. When a person is saved by Christ, they have the power to cease from sin. And that means they have the power over a lot of bad habits and really bad behavior. That's what they can do. And so Jesus told the Father, I saved them, and they're now out of the world, and they're still out. This is what they've accomplished. In verse 8, for I have given them I have given unto them thy words which thou gavest me. He's giving an accounting or a looking back of his accomplishments. And they have received them. So he's saying, this is what I did, and this is the result of what I did. That's how I can measure what I did. And have known surely that I came out from thee. They have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. All right? He's looking back. He's taking stock. He's given an accounting of what he did. Because he's going to have to move forward. If we have to move forward and there's some things that we need to change, my question is, are you ready to move on? Or are you going to continue to carry the baggage that produces nothing but misery and heartache? Because we have a choice. We don't have to carry this. This is not our destiny to carry baggage. It might be sometimes our problem, but it's not our destiny. If it's our problem, it might take us time to unload it because we might need some help. And that's okay. But it is not your destiny to carry baggage. Baggage are things that get in the way of serving God in the way that you would want. It's not your destiny to carry this. And it might take some time. But the question is, in 2018, what will you do different? What will you do different than you did this year? Because if you carried this year, not being critical of this, but if you carried some of this year, and you want to be rid of it in 2018, what will you do different? If it's really hard, it's going to take some risk. To do something different that you've not done before is sometimes a risky thing. It's a threat. It's a threat. Because all of us like the sameness of life. We want life to continue the same way. But new, I don't know what'll happen with new. New is threat. New is risk. But sometimes we got to take a risk for God in order to change something that needs to be let go. Amen. So if in 2017 you made some progress, you did a lot of work, but you're yet carrying, maybe the burden isn't this big. Maybe the burden has really diminished. Maybe it's only this big. But even this can get in the way. You are not destined to carry this any more than you were destined to carry that. Your problem that you are trying to get rid of, if it started out this big and now it's this big, thank God for that. But at the end of the day, you don't want that either. And we look back on 2017, just like Jesus did, and we say, this is what I accomplished. This is what they can do. So you have to ask yourself, what can I do? What am I capable of? With what God has done for me and what I yet have to finish, what am I capable of? If you say, I cannot knock on doors because I'm afraid to death of talking to someone unknown to me about Christ, then you are not able to do that. Does that mean everybody needs to knock on doors and meet people that are unknown to you? No. If you meet someone that you know, and there's a door which is open to you, and it's a possibility for you to testify to someone, right? And, you know, Sister Megan's my neighbor, and because I'm supposed to love my neighbor. And so we haven't had a chance really to talk about the things of the Lord, but the Lord opens the door. And I have a clear opportunity to talk to her about the Lord. Or I'm her neighbor and she's the one that has to talk to me, and the door opens for her. And I don't take it. I can't do that yet. See? And I should measure my ability by what I can do. I can't do that yet. So that's something in 2018, if I want to be able to go through that door and testify to her, or it's her, and she wants to testify to me, and I can't presently do that, then something needs to change in me. Right? If this is what's getting in the way, I need to find a way in 2018 to get rid of this. So that I can testify to her, so I can use what God has given me. Amen. See? So if in 2017 I still can't do that, but in 2018 I want to be able to, then something has to change. And you say, brother, I was willing to take a risk to get rid of that, but this is going to require the last ounce of whatever. Yeah? And so it's hard. But God gives grace so that we can do something really hard to change. We don't do what we used to do. Sometimes. Romans chapter 8. As we take stock of this last year and look forward to the next one, what needs to change? Can we do some things this coming year that we couldn't do this past year, and how are we going to be able to do that? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Anytime we walk after the flesh, God can't use that. So we have to walk after the Spirit. Verse 9. This whole chapter is full of what you can do, or how we can do what God wants us to do. But you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. So you're in the Spirit if God's Spirit is dwelling in you. How do you know if God's Spirit is dwelling in you? Well, the fruit of your life will illustrate the Spirit that's in you. But God's Spirit cannot dwell in you if your temple is still unclean. And so if there is still sin in your life, don't pretend that you can manage that sin and have the Spirit of God dwell in you. People who have an impression that they can manage sin, or somehow a little sin is okay, they might be like a religious person who started out with this and ended up with one of these, and the message said, you're always going to carry some of this. You need to get rid of the big stuff, but you're always going to carry some of this. And that's not God's word. This is, even a little sin is enough to destroy us. Because this leaves the door open to that. Right? So you can't clean yourself up most of the way and leave this. We have to go the whole way. The whole way is your whole mind, your whole heart, your whole soul, all your strength now is in the service of God. You don't sin anymore. Now, that's just not a decision that you make. That requires you going to an altar of prayer and repenting of this. You might say, I repented of that. Repent of this. And say, I want it all gone. No more sin. So then you have an opportunity to have the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This is how we can say, as I look back, these are things I can now do. Because God's Spirit is in me, helps me. Verse 28. And when I live like this, Your testimony can be, and you can say it tonight, we know that all things work together for good that to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that they might be firstborn among many brethren. Verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All right. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, these things that follow, so we're looking back on where we've come from, and this is where we want to be, right? In 2018, in verse 35, is that where we want to be? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? What is it that's separating you from the love of Christ today? Add it to that list. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So what is separating you from, and you might not even say the love of Christ, what is separating you from achieving and finishing things that need to be finished? That's where I'm going. We're at the end of the year. Some of us have some things that need to be finished. And I'm not suggesting that this is, you just do what I say. But if we have something today, this is the last day of the year, and something needs to be finished today, finish it. Don't carry it into the new year. If it's causing you to walk after the flesh, add it to this list and finish it. What do you mean by that? Make a determination. Pray and ask God, help me overcome this. Pray through. Do we still believe in praying through? Pray through and ask God, help me conquer this thing. Help me finish this thing. No, a lot of these things are mind battles. You may not be able to finish something that's going to take longer. But a lot of these things are mind battles. You've battled with something in your mind all year long. And if it is something that can be conquered through prayer, which just about anything can, I suppose, finish it. Make a determination. You say, brother, I'm not ready. It might be that it will take some time. It might be. But if it is something, a lot of things we carry with us that we could finish at any time if we chose. But for some reason, we carry them. That's what I'm talking about. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. How could he say that? Because he finished some things. He was ready to move on to the next thing. Amen. But if we have unfinished business, it's going to hinder us from moving on. Amen. We have a lot more, but we're not going to go there. We'll save it for later. We're still talking about the final battle. There is a final battle. It begins with the death of sin. But we are coming, all of us, to our own final battle. And my desire is that we would all be ready. Amen. The final battle may be the hardest one we've ever fought. I don't know. The enemy might be arrayed against us in a greater number than we've ever faced. And we need to be ready. We can't be walking after the flesh when that final battle comes. We need to be walking after the Spirit. I've done a poor job of explaining this morning. I'm not a profitable servant. But the Holy Spirit can add the profit that the unprofitable servant cannot. There's much more to this that should be said to make it more real to you. And I am unable to do it. Don't feel sorry for me. I've done the best I can do. It's not about me. I'm simply a messenger. But I know that, I know in my mind there is such a deeper, more personal meaning for this, for you, than I can explain. So I would encourage you, let's stand as we sing.